In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. My dear faithful, right now in the United States, there's an awful lot of basketball being played. And sometimes you hear the commentators talking about second chance points. And the reason why they speak about this is because the teams, when they play basketball, they, of course, attempt to score on the first time they shoot a basket. But sometimes they miss. And they'll get their own rebound, and they'll have another opportunity to score, and they end up scoring, and that's a second chance point. And of course, as I say, the teams, they want to score on their first effort, because chances are they're not going to get the rebound because the defense is in a better position to get the rebound. And in today's gospel, we hear our Lord speaking about what might be called second chance graces. And the people who were with him were experiencing incredible graces, but were not realizing it. And he wants to warn them that they better make sure to take these first chance graces, because they may not get a second chance. They had in front of them the incarnate God himself. He was working incredible miracles. He was casting out devils in their midst. They were in the midst of the most important moment in the history of the human race, and they did not realize it. Our Lord tells them, the kingdom of God has come upon you, and they did not realize it. Our Lord was providing them proofs of his divinity. And as I say, he was casting out devils. He was freeing people from the slavery to the devil. But the time that he was going to spend with them was going to be very short. In just a short time, he was going to be crucified. He was going to be buried. He was going to rise from the dead. He was going to go back to heaven. And there was just this moment that was given to them in order for them to acknowledge him for being God and to cooperate with those graces. And if they did not accept him at that moment, chances are that there would be no second chance. This is what he wants to communicate to them. If I come to you right now and I cast out devils and you reject me, then what is the devil going to do? He's going to go, he's going to find reinforcements, and he's going to come back. And I'm not going to be here. And what are you going to do at that point? You're going to be defeated by the devil. You're going to lose your souls. So there will be no second chance, is effectively what he's saying to them. There are other passages of the gospel where our Lord indicates to us how important it is for us to use the opportunities that are given to us in our life to advance in grace, to become holier, to reject sin. Those are the opportunities that God in his providence has arranged for us. And we must have this habit, we must have this disposition. I have to seize those opportunities, because there may be no others. For instance, you know, when he's telling the apostles about how to undertake their apostolic activity, he tells them, go into all the towns. When you go into the towns, you preach the gospel to them. You tell them that the kingdom of God has arrived for them. And if they accept you, then you go into their houses, you heal their sick, you know, you cast out the devils that are among them. But if they reject you, then you leave. You even take the dust from the town. You shake the dust off of your garments, indicating that basically they blew it. That was their chance. And now you've shaken the dust off your garments and you're not coming back because they rejected you. Our Lord even talks about the towns that blew the graces that were given to them in his own time by his own preaching. And he kind of pronounces a malediction upon them in the chapter before this chapter that's our gospel today. We find our Lord saying, woe to thee, Chorazin, woe to thee, Bethsaida, for if in Tyre and Sidon had been worked the mighty works that have been wrought in you, they would have done penance long ago, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the judgment than for you. And thou, Capernaum, which art exalted unto heaven, thou shalt be thrust down to hell. There were these three towns in Galilee around the Sea of Galilee, Chorazin, Bethsaida, Capernaum. And our Lord, during his public life, he spent a lot of time in these towns. And what he's saying is effectively, you were given all of these graces, and you're rejecting me. And because of that, because you did not use the opportunities that I gave you to come to the kingdom of God, to save your souls, it's going to be a lot worse for you than these Philistine towns, Tyre and Sidon, that they did not receive these graces. In another place, he says, the queen of the south shall rise in the judgment with the men of this generation and shall condemn them, because she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, more than Solomon is here. The men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, because they did penance at the preaching of Jonas. And behold, more than Jonas is here. Our Lord gives two examples from the Old Testament of people who corresponded to graces on the first time they were given to them. The Queen of Sheba comes to the court of Solomon, and she's astonished. She's humble enough to recognize the glory of Solomon that was given to him by God. And then the people of Nineveh, these pagans in Nineveh, you know, worshiping false gods, they have this prophet come from Israel to a foreign country, to their country, and say to them, you are sinning, and God's wrath is going to fall upon you. And they listen, and they do penance, and God turns his wrath away. They corresponded to the first grace that was given to them. So, my dear faithful, the bottom line of this teaching for us is this. We must have this disposition to correspond to all of the graces that are given to us in our life. We must want to seize upon the opportunities that God gives us. God is always giving us graces. And sometimes we are disposed, sometimes we're not disposed. Sometimes we cooperate with the graces, sometimes we reject the graces. But the fact is that while every grace that we receive from God is a great blessing for us, at the same time, there are consequences for God giving us graces. On the one hand, these graces impose a responsibility upon us. We've been blessed. What are we going to do with this blessing? And on the other hand, there is this reality that those graces, once they're given, do not come back. Those graces are given at one moment. And this is, we know, is obviously true with the question of time. It's just the nature of time that the time passes and does not come back. Every moment of time is given to us as one moment. So, you know, today is March 23rd, 2025. And there's only going to be one March 23rd, 2025 in the history of the world. This day will come, has come, and this day will go. And it will never come back. There will only be this one March 23rd, 2025. And whatever happens today will be set in stone forever. It will be impossible to change. Once this day, once we reach midnight tonight, whatever has happened on this day will be set forever and will never change. Even, you know, St. Thomas Aquinas says even God is not able to change the past. And the same is true for his seasons. We have this liturgical season upon us, the Lent of 2025. Lent is always a very grace-filled time for Catholics. It's a time where we're meant to grow in grace. We were meant to become holier. We were meant to adopt these mortifications. We were meant to pray more, to be more recollected. It's a time where the Church herself supplies us special graces to advance in our holiness and to break with our habits of sin. But as I say, of course, you know, there's only going to be one Lent of 2025. This is the moment that we have to really live this Lent of this year. In 1 month, you know, we'll be at Easter, and Lent will be over. And the Lent of this year will be done and never to come back. Who knows how many Lents we have left in our lifetime? Will this be our last Lent? Will there be a second chance Lent given to us or not? We don't know. Recall that also that I mentioned to you at the beginning of this year, you know, on January 1st. This is a unique year for you. This is the year that your church will be built. This is the only year, probably in your lifetime, that you're going to have a church built for your parish and a parish hall built for your parish. This is the opportunity you have to contribute to it, and that opportunity will soon pass away and will never come back. We know that God is extremely merciful to us, and that God does give us second chances. We have to say it's extremely rare in the history of the world that a person dies after their first mortal sin. Isn't that like an incredible tragedy? Someone just commits one mortal sin, and right after that they die, and they go to hell for all eternity. It's an unspeakable tragedy. And because God is merciful, that's the vast majority of the time, that's not the way that it works. That God gives second, third, fourth, you know, many, many chances often to souls. But the reality is that, as I said, we just don't know how many chances we have. And we don't know if the current chance is the last one or not. And that's why we always keep our soul in this state of readiness to seize upon the opportunities that God gives us, not knowing if this is the last opportunity. We don't want to have a situation where our chances are up. And, you know, we appear before God, and we will not be able to say, could I just have one more chance? It's like, well, no, there was a number of chances that were allotted to you, and they've been all used up. So we really have to appreciate each grace that our Lord gives us in each day of our life, each confession, each Holy Communion, each liturgical season, each opportunity to defeat sin, to practice a mortification, to cooperate with the grace, to say our prayers well, for instance. I've always found edifying the lives of the saints, of those saints who really had great conversions. You know, there was a particular grace that hit them at a certain point in their life that really turned their life around. We see them cooperating deeply with that grace, the special grace that are given, and then for the rest of their life, following the trail of grace. It's like from that point, really cooperating with the graces that are given them. You can think of St. Francis Borgia, for instance. You know, St. Francis was a nobleman. He was leading living the high life, and then he goes to this funeral of Queen Isabella, and you know there was no embalming or anything, and he sees Queen Isabella, who is so beautiful, just completely ravaged by death. You know, like her body was corrupting. And it made him reflect. It was a powerful grace for him to think about what is the real meaning of life? If this is what this has happened to this great queen after death, what is life really about? Of course, he converted, became a great priest and superior general of the Jesuits. Another saint was Saint John Gualbert. Saint John Gualbert was on a mission of vendetta against the murderer of his brother. Someone killed his brother, and he was out to find this man and exact revenge on behalf of his brother. And he encountered, he had these guys with him to help him. And he ran into the murderer on Good Friday in a narrow pass. And he was at the point, he was going to kill this guy. And the man knelt down and begged him mercy in the name of Jesus Christ. And that was like this moment of huge grace for St. John Gualbert. And he was touched. And he forgave the man. He did not do the murder. His what was going to be an act of murder and a grave sin turned into an act of great merit, of forgiveness. And then from that point, you know, he went to a church. The cross of Christ bowed down, leaned down to St. John, and he became a monk. And then, as they say, followed that train of graces. So, my dear faithful, if the Lord casts out a devil for us in our life, if our Lord gives us a grace, it's important that we build on that grace. It's important that we seize that opportunity. If our Lord gives us an opportunity to become holier, we have to seize upon it. The kingdom of God has come upon us. Our Lord has redeemed us. Our Lord is giving us graces every single day of our life. You must make sure that you do not let the graces of your life be wasted. Last thing you want to happen is for you to get into the habit of spiritual procrastination, where you're like always putting off tomorrow. Oh yeah, you know, I'll make a good Lent next year. This year, I've got too much going on. Soon, for instance, I will make the necessary steps to break from mortal sin. But right now, I just can't do it right now. When will you do it? When will this take place? You have to do it now. Now is the time. This is the opportunity that God has given you. You don't know that there's going to be a second chance. You have to take care of that right now. As I say, the last thing we want to happen is that we appear before the judgment seat of our Lord. And he says to us, where is your wedding garment? You don't have a wedding garment on. It's like, oh, Lord, well, you know, if you had given me this extra grace, if you had given me another chance, if you just give me another chance, then it will be good. We won't be able to say this. We know in the parable, like the man without the wedding garment, he can say nothing. He's silent. Now is the time of our salvation. There is no other time. Let us especially stay close to Our Lady. We know that Our Lady gives us this beautiful example that she cooperated with every single grace of our life. There was no time in her life where she was not docile to what God was doing in her soul. She was the spouse of the Holy Ghost. So every movement of the Holy Ghost in her soul, she cooperated with. She was docile to. So since she was faithful to every single grace that was given to her, we want to be close to her in this life, and she will certainly make sure that we make use of the opportunities that we have and make it to heaven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.